you're all set?
Blue beans. All right, so good afternoon, everybody. I appreciate you being here today. My name is Paul Corbett. I am the Deputy Outreach Program Manager and Intergovernmental Liaison for VISN 1. That's a lot of language. So basically what it means is that I work with all the hospitals throughout New England and with different government agencies trying to educate people on benefits and expand services for veterans. So I cover all six New England states. VISN 1 is kind of a distinction that they use for the New England area. So it covers 77 different medical facilities in New England, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. And all of those, all the facilities, so like White River Junction and all the community-based outpatient clinics are all a part of one network, the VA New England healthcare system. So that's why if you're a little confused by the booklets that you have in each one of your seats, everybody falls underneath the New England healthcare system. It's all one big network.
Let's sit here and have a hearing problem.
Go for it.
Am I in the right place, veterans?
Yes.
Great, thanks.
So I'm going to start with some numbers, facts, and figures about veterans in Vermont and New Hampshire. And we'll kind of just go along through things. If you have questions, feel free to ask them. This is being recorded. I don't know if everybody was told that or not. So I just ask that you don't ask any personal questions. If you have any personal questions, just wait until we're done, and then I'll go ahead and address those. But Tom, Dick, and Harry, wherever they are listening to this, don't need to hear about your private life. So, but in New England, you have the second fastest declining veteran population in the country. Every single year, we have 30,000 less, about 30,000 less veterans than we did the year before. And a couple of years ago was the first time that we hit less than a million veterans since World War I. So the reason why I exist doing outreach and education is to try and make sure that those veterans that are not currently connected with their benefits are connected with them, or at least educated about them so that they can use them properly and to their benefit. In all of New England, there's approximately 928,000 veterans right now. Out of that 928,000 veterans, 72% of them do qualify for VA benefits. The 28% that do not qualify may be individuals that got a dishonorable discharge or just have an honorable discharge, no disability compensation, and make $1 million a year or whatever. But right now there's 72% approximately that qualify for VA healthcare. But I would say only 34% are actually using it. So there's a lot of veterans that are still out there. Twice as many that are using VA right now that qualify but are not using. And 64, almost 65% of the veterans that live in New England are over the age of 60. So a lot of individuals, a huge percentage of individuals, are coming to that point in life where there's going to be a lot of changes. They're retiring, probably don't have kids in the house anymore. Maybe the grandkids are there every weekend, but no more kids. And they're looking to possibly move elsewhere, or they're looking at what options they have because they may be on a fixed income. Now some of these numbers are small. I can provide them to the facility here, and they, if you have email, they can send it to you, or maybe they can make photocopies of it if you want it for your own benefit. But I have a breakdown here, veterans in New England as compared to New Hampshire and as compared to Vermont. So predominantly 90-something percent of veterans throughout New England, and is the same in Vermont and New Hampshire, are male. Less than 10% are female. The bulk of veterans, right at a third of all veterans in New England, served in Vietnam or during the Vietnam era. And as I mentioned before, a large percentage, almost 50% of the veterans in New England now, I guess I have to update the previous slide, but almost 50% are 65 or older. So these numbers, wow, there's a lot of numbers. This is the breakdown. I designed this specifically for White River Junction's catchment area. They oversee a lot of counties that are in the state of New Hampshire, not just the state of Vermont. And this kind of gives you an idea of how many veterans are located where, and some of their basic demographics. And then here, again, county by county, it gives you the veteran population, how many veterans out of that population are eligible for health care, how many are actually using it. About 3 weeks ago, I spent some time in Franklin County. Reason being, Franklin County has a large number of individuals that are enrolled, but they're not currently using. It's what, 18%, I think, or 15%? 18%. So only 18%, when you have other counties like Essex County, where 81% of people that are enrolled are using VA healthcare. So that's a huge disparity. So I've been spending time there, and I'll be spending some time in Addison County to try and figure out why it is that veterans who are enrolled are not using the benefits that they earned and deserve. It could be as simple as transportation. It could be that they're just not educated about it, or people, stakeholders in the community, are not educated about it. But I've been doing some travel trying to figure that out. As you can see, like I had said before, the population of veterans in New England is decreasing quite rapidly, actually. A lot of people say, well, we should have tons of new veterans because we had, you know, a 10-15 year war with Iraq and Afghanistan. But you have individuals like myself that went over there more than once. You know, it's in previous wars, some people did more than one hump, but for the most part, people did one deployment and then they were done. Guys and girls that are my age or younger, I know people that have done 7, 8, 9, 10 tours during their military service. So there's not that many OEF, OIF, OND veterans, which is Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, and Operation New Dawn. They come up with acronyms for everything. But so there's not that many veterans that are being added to the pool or to the population of veterans that currently reside in New England. Now, every single year, we end up looking at the numbers of veterans. A lot of the veterans that are disappearing, they may be moving, a certain percentage of them, unfortunately, may be passing away. Some of them are sabbatical users. So I classify myself as a sabbatical user. So this year, maybe I break my toe. So I'll go to the VA, I'll get them to splint it and give me some Tylenol or whatever. And then they won't see me again for 2 years until I break my toe again on the same piece of furniture. So that's a sabbatical user, somebody that uses 1 year and doesn't use again for a couple of years. But we've really dove into this, trying to figure it out. And the reason why it's important is that for those of you that were in the military, you may remember, especially if you're in recruiting, you can't have a bigger back door than you have a front door, meaning you don't want people just rushing out of the place without it being full. So in order for us to add to the healthcare system and make it larger, so that we can ultimately provide more services and programs. We need to make up for what we've lost before we can even start adding on. So, for instance, we have a team of individuals that go out and do outreach throughout all of New England, doing what I'm doing right now, or going to, if anybody was at Champlain Valley Fair, I was there. The State Fair in Rutland, I was there. There was a gun show a couple weeks ago in Brattleboro, I was there. Just trying to meet with veterans in their communities and let them know about the benefits that are available to them. Well, the entire team we have, you know, we're trying to increase the size of the New England healthcare system. So say if I have to, my quota for the year is to grow by 10 veterans. That's it. I want to add 10 new veterans to White River Junction healthcare system. And so for me to do that, because we lost, say, 3,000 veterans last year, now that's not the exact number, it's just hypothetical. We lost 3,000 veterans last year, so that means that I need to bring 3,010 new veterans in order for me to grow by 10. And I always encourage every veteran that I meet, because a lot of them are healthy as a horse. They don't really need health care, they don't need anything at all. But I tell them, you know, at least enroll and use it once a year for your physical or whatever it is that you need. Because by you being in the system, it brings more to the system. So what I mean by that, say if you have one doctor at White River Junction. We have more than that, fortunately. But say you have one doctor, and that doctor can see 10 patients. Now, what if I bring in one new patient? Well, now we have to hire a new doctor because that doctor can only see 10 people, and we have 11. So now because we hired that new doctor, I have now 9 more spots that I can fill for other veterans and that are available, which increases access, which increases programs and services, and everything else. So we're always trying to grow so that we can do more and more and more for the veterans that are utilizing our services. Now, there's a lot of common misconceptions about VA healthcare or VA in general. I've kind of broken it down to the 12 most basic. And I'm not going to go or read all of these to you. But one that I hear all the time, especially from women that served in the military, is that they don't consider themselves to be a veteran because they were never in combat. That's not true. If you've ever stood at the position of attention and raised your right hand, I consider you to be a veteran. There are certain stipulations that exist. Keep in mind all the regulations that we follow, the VA doesn't create them. They're actually created by Congress. So we follow the law, the letter of the law that Congress creates for us. So if there's certain individuals that do not currently qualify for VA healthcare, by telling us about it, we really can't do anything. But if you tell your congressional member or something like that, then maybe they'll advocate on your behalf and be able to change the law and allow more people to use it. I'd already talked about number 2, I'm okay, so by using VA healthcare services, I'm taking away from another veteran. Well, that's not true. By using VA healthcare, you're actually adding to the benefit of every veteran that utilizes a service. A lot of veterans, especially Vietnam veterans, I hear this from, they had tried to get into VA years and years ago and they were told that they're no longer eligible. Well, as you move through life, life changes. And so do the qualifications for eligibility. And whatever stage you were in at that particular time in your life, it's probably different. And based on those differences, you may now qualify for VA healthcare. So even though you've applied years ago, apply again. And keep on doing it. You never know. The VA is not for just older veterans. And you could probably add on to that. I mean, a lot of people think that the VA only takes care of individuals that have substance abuse issues or mental health issues or has a prosthetic or something like that. It's not true. I mean, VA does everything from flu shots to plastic surgery to occupational therapy to housing to education. It's incredible the amount of services that exist, and a lot of people just don't know about them. A lot of times, a lot of people, especially in the private sector. Now, why is the opinion of the private sector so important to me? A lot of times, especially now, it used to be back during World War II, 18% of the population served in the military. So a lot of people understood the lingo. They understood what it was to serve. They understood VA, because a lot of them had some type of interaction with it. A lot of individuals back then also went to the local VFW or DAV because that was Facebook back then, right? That's how people socialized. So a lot of people knew about the VA and a lot of different things that existed. But today it's a lot different. And a lot of the times an individual that might be making the healthcare decision for a veteran is not a veteran. So it might be, an uncle's nephew, or it might be a mother's daughter that's actually making the healthcare decision. Somebody could unfortunately maybe be catastrophically disabled from a car accident, and they can't say, hey, mom, dad, bring me to the VA. They don't have that ability. So, you know, I need to go out there and educate mom and dad, who don't know anything about VA and have never even thought about VA, to go there for help. So that's why it's really, really important for me to pay attention to how the public feels and what they know about VA healthcare. But that long, that long response was, a lot of people think that the VA has second-rate doctors. So, you know, an individual that couldn't make it at Harvard Medical is gonna go and work for the VA instead. Well, truth be told, in New England, 70% of the doctors that are out there have been trained by VA at some point in time. We have a huge, huge, huge network and a huge system with all the colleges throughout all of New England, to include Yale, Harvard, Dartmouth, Tufts, you name it. Whether it's medical, dental programs, we work with community colleges to help with the different type of techs that they have. A lot of individuals from a lot of different specialties have been involved with VA at some point in time. So unless you think 70% of all doctors are really, really, really bad, VA actually has a lot of great doctors. And then a lot of people also have expressed that they think that VA has second-rate equipment. Essentially that either a hospital gets done with an x-ray machine and then they donate it to VA, or you go to get an x-ray and they do it with an etch-a-sketch, which is not true at all. The VA actually spends, I want to say last fiscal year we spent almost $1 million a day on medical equipment and on research. And I challenge you to find another hospital system in New England that does that. The amount of time and effort that they put into the engineering that they have that goes into what's available for you through our programs and services is absolutely amazing. Heck, they have an MRI machine sitting down in Boston. It's so powerful that, like, technology can't even use its capability yet. It's unbelievable. So eligibility and enrollment. Just by show of hands, how many people are enrolled in VA healthcare? Okay, a considerable number of you. For those of you that did not raise your hand, how many of you served in the military? All right, awesome. So, as I had stated before, as far as what I consider to be a veteran, it's anybody that swore to protect and defend our way of life. To all of you that served, I deeply appreciate it. lots of gratitude. Welcome home to all of you. For those of you that didn't, that you're a dependent or a loved one, your service is just as important as well, because you probably put up with more. I'm being recorded, so I'll keep my language nice. But you put up with more stuff than they did while they were gone away training or deployed or whatever. So thank you for what you've done as well. As far as the VA is concerned, it doesn't matter what race you are, what gender, what sexual preference you have, what religion background you have, none of that negates you from being qualified for VA healthcare. All that matters is that you've served in the military for 24 consecutive months or for the length of whatever your federal orders are. And what I mean by that is that if you would say you were in National Guard or Reserves and you were called up and deployed somewhere, well, that can make you qualified for VA healthcare. Unfortunately, for an individual, because of the way the current law is written, I was actually a Big E a couple of days ago. Down in West Springfield, Massachusetts. It's a 100th year celebration. Tons and tons and tons of people. It was awesome. And I met, probably 2,000 veterans in one day. It was cool. It was really, really cool. But while I was there, I had a particular veteran come up to me and ask me, he's like, hey, I was in the National Guard, ended up retiring from the National Guard, did his umpteen million years, and he never deployed. He helped out with a couple of different things, like the governor called up because, you know, a tornado came through and knocked down a bunch of power lines or whatever, but he had never gone on federal orders, and he wanted to know if he qualified for VA healthcare. Well, unfortunately, because of the way the laws are written right now, he does not qualify because he was never on federal orders, which is crazy to me that somebody could, you know, serve their country for 20 plus years I'm not qualified, but unfortunately that's the way it is. So the basic eligibility, as it's written here, and I'll just read it to you. Most veterans who enlisted after September 7th, 1981, or entered active duty after October 16th, 1981, must have served 24 continuous months, or the full period for which they were called to active duty to be eligible. Now, of course, there's lots of different ways, say, addendums that have made, or clauses, or loopholes, or whatever you want to call it, that will make someone qualified. But for the most part, this fits like 90% of individuals who qualify or do not qualify. Now, one of the easy ways, in my mind, I kind of run through this checklist when I'm talking to a veteran. Or a spouse of a veteran or dependent of a veteran, to see whether or not the veteran qualifies. Now, of course, you had to have served in the U.S. military. I mean, that's a given. But if anything else on this list, which some of it's covered by the recording box, if you can check mark any of the other things that are on this list, then you most likely qualify for VA health care. Some of them are an absolute guarantee. Not all of them are. But so, for instance, did you serve in the military and do you currently use Medicaid? If so, then you qualify for VA healthcare. This is a new one. Did you serve on active duty at Camp Lejeune for at least 30 days between 1953 and 1987? Then you qualify. Most people think that it's all about income. Not true. There was a couple that I had met. We go to Bike Week, which is a lot of fun, but we do outreach at Bike Week, opening weekend and closing weekend. And I met a couple the day before Father's Day, actually. They were both in the Marine Corps. They had both met at Camp Lejeune, and it was in the early 80s. And I asked them both, well, did you guys serve for more than 30 days there? And I was like, well, yeah, I was there for like 4 years, and his wife was there for two. I was like, well, you guys automatically qualify for VA healthcare. He was like, well, I was told I don't because of our income. And I was like, well, how much do you make? He said, well, our combined household income is $450,000 a year. And I'm like, that's cool. Good for you, but you still qualify. And he was like, seriously? And I'm like, yes, income has nothing to do with it, because you can checkmark one of the other things that are on this list, and it makes you automatically qualify. So anytime you hear somebody say, oh, I make too much money, or something like that, it's probably not true. And if you have applied in the past, and that was the only reason that they gave you for not qualifying, because let's face it, they don't get your order at McDonald's right all the time. Well, sometimes people at the VA don't get it right either. I'll be honest with you. And so sometimes somebody will look at it and be like, oh, they make too much money, and they didn't even notice that they checked off that they got a Purple Heart in Vietnam, which is an automatic qualifier, in two different ways, because they served in Vietnam and they have a Purple Heart. Both of those automatically make you qualify. So they might have skipped over it. So if income was the only qualifying reason why, or unqualifying reason that you did not make it, then I would go ahead and apply again and see what happens. So why should veterans apply? I've used a lot of different VA healthcare systems. I've worked for the VA now for about 5 years. I've used the VA as a consumer since 2004. I won't tell you all the places that I've used it, but I can tell you that New England is by far the best. It's by far the best. The doctors up here, the proximity of everything, some of the places that I lived in the United States, it might be 2 hours that I had to drive to get to a nearest facility, which stunk, especially if your knee went out on you and you have a clutch. So it's like, what am I gonna do? But the quality of care here really, really is awesome. As far as cost goes, if you compare it to any type of insurance, which VA is not insurance, okay? You can't just show up at a hospital and say, boom, I'm a veteran, and VA is just going to take care of it. It doesn't work that way, all right? And I'll get into that a little bit later on. But there are no premiums. There's no annual fees. There are no deductibles. Some veterans, 70 to 75% of veterans might have a copay. But if you have a service-connected disability, anything that's attributed to that, you don't have to pay for, period. If you have over 50% disability, you pay for nothing at all as far as regular health care. So, you know, like inpatient, outpatient, pharmaceutics, any of that kind of stuff that you need. If you're over 50% disabled, it's completely free. If you're 70% disabled, then that means that all of your end-of-life care, so if you need to go in a nursing home, or if you need a home health nurse, or respite care, or any of that kind of stuff, all that's going to be free. And then if you're 100%, then you get everything absolutely free, to include dental, which I challenge you to find a hospital that has dental. I don't think you'll find one. As far as the care, like I said before, the care there is really, really good. But if we weren't exceptional, then I doubt very much that Harvard would want to send their students to us so that they could learn, or that Yale would want to do it, or Dartmouth. We by far have some of the best programs. We have the best research. We sink a lot of time and effort into making sure that what we're doing is cutting edge. Heck, I was just reading about it was the first surgery of its type, whereas they had taken, there was an individual who lost their leg in Iraq, and so they wanted to have kind of like a socket that the individual could take their prosthetic and attach it to. So they took this, I can't remember what it's made out of, but they essentially take this rod and they fuse it into the bone. And now the individual can literally step right into their prosthetic and it's connected. And I guess it's the first time that they've ever done it in the world, and it was done by the VA. There's a lot of stuff that the VA does that seriously is cutting edge. We're the first ones to try it, first ones to adopt it. That includes a lot of different medications as well. We've created and researched a lot of stuff that no one else in the private sector is doing. And then as far as wraparound services, so the VA is very, very comprehensive. If I'm a disabled veteran who is homeless, I could walk into the VA. Not only is the VA gonna pull a tooth that I have a cavity in, but they're also gonna give me my flu shot. They're gonna give me a bed to sleep in. They're gonna set me up with compensated work therapy, which is a program that veterans can go into. It will, basically they'll have a job there at the hospital. They get paid $8 an hour, tax-free. They can start going back to school. Clinical therapy is gonna be involved with it. They're gonna give me a ride to my new job that's outside of the hospital while I'm still living at one of the quarters that's inside of the hospital. Or they're gonna hook me up with another program to help me get housing. I mean, it's unreal what the VA does to support a veteran. I challenge you, to absolutely challenge you to try and find any healthcare system in the world that does all that kind of stuff. And I even laugh because at Bike Week, the first weekend of Bike, well, it depends on which weekend is the nicest weekend, but you'll end up with a bunch of veterans that come riding down from like Nova Scotia and Toronto and Quebec and stuff like that. And a lot of them will be like, hey, is there, you know, we served in the Canadian military. Is there any way we can use VA healthcare? And I'm like, you already have free healthcare. Like, you have universal healthcare. And they're like, yeah, but VA is really good. And I'm like, huh, okay. We actually have a bus that goes up to Canada, what is it, once every 2 weeks? Because there are American citizens that are up there. And so they'll hop on the bus and they'll come down to White River Junction and get all their healthcare taken care of. And then they'll get bused back up to Canada. Now, if you want to enroll into VA healthcare, there's four really simple ways of doing it. The easiest is for you to just go ahead and go to a VA facility. If you have your DD-214, bring it with you. For those of you that may not know what a DD-214 is, it's a document of separation from the military. It basically has a person's name, social security number, where they signed up from, how much time they had served, where they went, what kind of medals and decorations they may have received while they were in the military. It has all that information.
What's that called again?
A DD-214. Yep, that's it right there.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't hold it up because it's recording and it can. But yeah, so it's your service document. You can bring that with you. If you have insurance, bring that information with you, and you'll be good to go. If you want to, you can do it online, which you can just go to va.gov, and it'll guide you through the entire process. You can do it over the phone, or you can call the phone number that's up there, 877-222-VETS. They'll mail you the form if you want to. And then if you decide that you want to fill it out by mail or send it by mail, then you're going to be sending it to the Health Eligibility Center, which any individual that enrolls in the VA healthcare, their information ends up going through this center. So whether you do it at White River Junction or you do it in Cherokee, North Carolina, all of it's going to go here regardless. So you can mail it there. And I myself, anytime I ever enroll a veteran, I always give them my contact information and tell them, hey, look, if you don't hear anything, let me know. You should hear something within 2 weeks from the VA. Which actually is the next slide. So they'll end up sending you a letter that tells you, yay, you're enrolled, or I'm sorry, you're not enrolled. Whichever way it may be, you know, you can contact the business office at White River Junction, or you can go to one of your community-based outpatient clinics and discuss it with them. If your enrollment was accepted, then it will have the information for the nearest facility to you. you can go ahead and call that facility and set up your first primary care appointment, which in VA, everything shoots off from your primary care. So if you want to see an optometrist, you need to have a primary care appointment and have them coordinate it and schedule the meeting for you. Yes?
It says notify about your enrollment and assignment. So is that to a particular hospital or to the assignment? Does that mean you're assigned to White River Junction or?
Well, you can, on the form that you fill out, which the form itself is called a 1010 EZ, like an EZ pass. It's just a front and back. It literally takes 5 minutes to fill out. It's really, really, really simple. On there, if you want to, you can select a particular medical facility, or you can just say you don't want to be contacted, and nobody from the facility will contact you, and it'll just totally be on you to do it yourself. But what that's talking about is actually what priority group you're in. So there's 8 different priority groups that exist. And depending on what kind of classification you have, so say you have 80% disability through VA, then you would be in priority group 1. Say you served in the military and you have Medicaid, that would put you in priority group 5. Now, the priority groups are structured so that if Congress changes the law, the last veterans to lose their benefits would be the veterans that need it absolutely the most. So those veterans with the highest amount of disability and all that kind of stuff will be the very last people to ever lose their benefits. And that's pretty much why it's designed that way. It's not to say that any one veteran is more important than another veteran, because it's not true. But that's the way Congress decided to do it. So that's what it's referring to as far as what priority group you're in. And then priority groups also dictate what type of co-payments you might have, if any. Now, if you have VA disability, your co-payments may vary from one thing to another. So say you have 10% disability for hearing loss. Well, you'll never pay for anything that has to do with your hearing. But say you end up having to get an MRI and it has nothing to do with your hearing, then you may have to pay $50 for that MRI. But that's a super cheap MRI, let me tell you.
Oh, yes.
$50, right? Now, these are just some of the things. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different co-pays that exist, and there's caps for everything. So even prescriptions, there's only so much that the VA can charge you in an entire year for your prescriptions. And once you hit that, everything is free after that, until the calendar year comes around again. But I don't know, it's right there at the same cost as Medicare service, what you'll end up paying, I guess, out of pocket for Medicare services. And as I said many, many, many slides ago, 1 in 4 veterans pay absolutely nothing. Services that are free, you'll never pay for flu shots or preventative care. You'll never pay for educational programs. You'll never pay for x-rays and quite a few other things. Preventative medicine, you don't have to pay for.
For a person who's enrolled with the VA, if that person needs a relatively minor but necessary medical thing, let's say like pulling a rotten tooth, does the dental thing help with dental at all?
It depends.
Uh-huh.
I know that's a horrible answer. I mean, some facilities might have capacity.
Uh-huh.
Dental programs are usually slam-packed full of, like, anybody that can use dental is going to use VA.
Uh-huh.
And they're usually full all the time.
Uh-huh.
There's some facilities that every once in a while they're able to squeeze somebody in there
because
it's deemed medically necessary.
Uh-huh.
One of your other options too I know that $15 a month can be a lot of money for some people that are on fixed incomes,
mm-hmm.
but the VA does have a dental insurance program.
Mm-hmm.
So I myself get dental insurance through Delta Dental, which was set up by VA.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay for like fully comprehensive, whatever you need. I think I pay like $12 a month. So you can either get it through Delta Dental or through MetLife. And if you're currently enrolled in VA and you're interested in that, I would say that the next time that you're at the facility, I would ask them. If you're savvy on a computer, then you can just look up VA DIP. Just Google it, and it'll come right up. And just click on it, and really, really simple process.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign up for it online. I think it took me less than an hour
mm-hmm.
Before they were emailing me all the paperwork and mm-hmm. like, yay, you can get your teeth cleaned now or whatever. You know? But yeah, so there's options that are available
mm-hmm.
If you don't qualify for VA dental care, but they have gone out and set up the insurance program through MetLife and Delta
mm-hmm.
That you can utilize if you want to.
Thanks.
I have a question on your slide. Under long-term care co-payments, you have, what's the difference between inpatient care and domiciliary care?
Domiciliary is kind of like living in individuals. A lot of times people in a domiciliary are, or at least at one of the facilities that I'm most familiar with, it might be individuals have substance abuse issues and that kind of stuff. So it's, I believe the domiciliary in Bedford, it's kind of like a squad bay. A lot of individuals living in one room.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of renting out a rack. And a lot of people come in and out of the place. It's not like a homeless shelter. But it's not your traditional type of living situation, I guess.
And so your inpatient care would be like a Chelsea Soldiers Home, where people are living inside of the home with other people who are veterans?
No, inpatient care would be, say, you're waiting to get into a residential facility. You need to be somewhere for a while. You just had a surgery. You're recovering from the surgery.
So it's connected with hospitalization.
What's that?
It's connected with hospitalization.
Well, there's a lot of different tiers and a lot of different ways that, like, it breaks out in a thousand different ways. So this is just a general idea. And that's actually for inpatient, depending on what type of inpatient care you're receiving. Whether it's like fully comprehensive that you have like staff waiting on you constantly, or if you're just there because you're doing rehab for an hour every day or something like that, it's going to change the price. Bless you. But it's just to give you an idea. Programs and services. So, because a lot of people don't understand how comprehensive VA healthcare can be, I kind of break it down into four different areas. So you have your health, wellness, foundational, and long-term. All right. So health is your basic stuff, your primary care, your flu shots, your surgical stuff, your anything that you would expect to see in a regular hospital. Wellness, you can do personal training. We have nutritionists. They have a mini gym here at White River Junction. The Bedford Hospital has a swimming pool and all sorts of stuff. And that's available to anybody that's enrolled in VA healthcare. You can get a personal trainer. You can get involved with recreational programs. So through the adaptive sports program, we have either a contract or an agreement with, say, Vermont Adaptive, and they'll take veterans out. And so if you really like skiing, You can go skiing during the wintertime for free every Thursday. There's a ton of veterans that get together. Most of them don't actually even ski. They just sit at the bottom of the mountain and drink coffee and tell war stories, you know? But
where is this?
I can get you the information for it. There's a colleague of mine. He runs all that stuff. I'm usually doing outreach at places where veterans aren't involved with VA whatsoever, not with veterans that are. Yes?
Over here at the White River Junction, do they run a class on balance?
For balance?
For balance.
I'm quite sure they do. I mean, they have every type of therapy that you could possibly think of, and balance is important for every type of therapy, quite honestly. But yeah, I mean, I would speak with, are you in the VA healthcare system?
Yes.
I would speak with your primary care physician and just say, hey, you know, I'm looking for some type of therapeutic intervention that will help me or whoever it is get better with balance and dexterity and whatever. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
You probably have quite a few balance classes right here at the Senior Resource Center, so maybe you, Elizabeth, and I will all the tie-ins between the VA and Dartmouth Hitchcock. I was going to ask if you could comment on audiology, what is and isn't available there. If I'm pronouncing it correctly, it's the fourth one you got on your list there.
Yeah, audiology, I mean, it's... You can do anything from a regular hearing checkup to getting hearing aids. Good friend of mine. So there's this gentleman, go play cards with him on Sundays sometimes. He's a Korean War veteran. And ever since I've known him, he's been hard of hearing, like really bad. Which is probably good because his wife nags him a lot. So, No, I finally talked him into, after years of knowing, I finally talked him into going to the VA. And he never used the VA whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And he got a pair of hearing aids for $50. They're really, really nice hearing aids. Mm-hmm. And they keep on sending you batteries whenever you need them. Mm-hmm. And he was amazed by it. Mm-hmm. It was funny. Like, he was like, I didn't even realize that the floor creaked when I was walking across. He was like, I gotta get that fixed, you know? But yes, anything that you could possibly need, uh-huh, and deem medically necessary, the VA will help you out with. Uh-huh. Yes.
What's the last? I can't see it because of the recording sign.
Long term.
Yeah.
So.
What does it say?
Yeah, it says residential care, home health, adult daycare, end of life programs. So like, you know, hospice and stuff like that, which hospice care is free anyway. You might end up having to pay for the location that you're in if you're not at home. But VA itself covers everything across the board, takes care of it. And every veteran, regardless, qualifies for free hospice care. Now, when you start getting into like residential care, adult daycare, it's actually pretty cool. So say if I had my grandfather living with me and I was helping to take care of him, and you know, I didn't want to leave him home alone because last time I did, he almost burnt the house down. Then I could set it up with VA healthcare that I could bring him there at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and he could hang out with other guys that almost burnt their house down, and you know, at the end of the workday, I could come pick them up. Or at the same token, if say I wanted to take my kids to Disneyland, well, I could set it up. I could coordinate with VA healthcare and have my grandfather stay at the VA facility for 3 to 4 days while I'm at Disneyland with my kids, and then I come back and I pick them up. Now, does every veteran qualify for all these things? No. There's different factors that go into it, but I want you to know that those options do exist. And these are questions that you should be asking your primary care provider at any of the hospitals or clinics that you go to.
Okay.
This is a list that just came off the top of my head in like 3 minutes, or as fast as I could possibly type it. And this isn't even probably a third of the services that VA provides. It's just a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Now, not every single facility is going to provide every single service that you're looking for. Some of them may require travel. So say like if you need open heart surgery, they're not going to do that at White River Junction. And if you wait until they start doing that at White River Junction, you probably will no longer be with us. You'll end up having to go to West Roxbury down in Boston, or they'll contract with one of the facilities here. So you might go to Dartmouth or whatever, and they'll take care of it and then they'll pay for it. You won't have to pay for anything. But within our network, let's see here. Within our network, I don't think there's any service. Off the top of my head, I cannot think of one single service that you could possibly need in a hospital setting that VA New England Healthcare does not offer. And so it just depends on how urgent the matter is, as far as whether or not you'll go to a facility that's a block away from your house, or if they'll send you to one of the VA facilities that actually has it. Now, one of the nice things, I don't know if anybody here has been to West Roxbury, but they do have accommodations for families. They have what's called a Fisher House. It's really nice. It's like a multi-million dollar bed and breakfast. It's freaking awesome. If I could live in the building, I would. It's like really, really, really nice. But there's a family that, you know, they donate tons and tons of money to the VA, and they build these houses all over the place so that, say, you know, if your spouse is having a surgery and they're required to be there for 3 days, and the VA says, well, you know what, it would improve the quality of their life and for the family to be there with that veteran, well, the family can go too, and they have a place that they can stay at that's right there at the facility. If they don't have one of those houses that's there, I've seen families placed in a nearby hotel, usually within walking distance. A lot of hotels also, for that very reason, they have deals with the VA that they have a much, much, much lower rate for you to be able to stay there as well if for some reason you don't qualify for that type of benefit. For any veteran that's 30% or more in disability, the VA will actually pay you for travel to your appointment if it's any type of distance. Now that doesn't mean that you can select, hey, you know what, I want my primary care doctor to be in Hawaii, and I want for VA to pay for me to go to Hawaii to see my primary care physician. It doesn't work that way. They'll only pay you to the nearest facility that offers what it is that you need or what it is that you require. But bringing that point up, you can use any VA facility you want. Especially for individuals that are snowbirds. You're up here for half the year and say down in Florida, you can use both. It doesn't matter. It's your prerogative. It's your benefit. You earned it. Quite honestly, if you run into somebody that says, well, you can't do that, tell them, well, some guy that I know up in Vermont told me, or we're in New Hampshire, some guy in New Hampshire told me I could, so screw off. Let me talk to your supervisor. Yes.
Just a plug, sort of, but it relates to what you're talking about. It never occurred to me I needed a dermatologist, but I'm registered with the VA. Someone there decided I should be checked on, and so I went through the check and I discovered a couple of, you know, cancerous things in my face, and it was removed, actually here, but it was removed, you know, without charge, and I didn't even take any initiative. Just someone there, because I was registered, thought I ought to have this checked.
Yep.
So it's really, for me, worked wonderfully.
No, it's, I mean, like I myself, I had a couple of weeks where I was having a lot of headaches, and I was feeling really anxious for no apparent reason whatsoever. I mean, if I was watching a Patriots game, there's a reason for that. But, you know, I could just be very relaxed and comfortable, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, this is weird. And so right off the bat, well, they were like, well, we're going to go ahead and set you up to, let's do the EKG, did that immediately. Let's go ahead and set you up for MRI. I'm going to have that done in a couple weeks. Let's set you up to see a neurologist and this and that and everything. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, you know. They have everything available, you know, and if you ask for it, they're not going to tell you no. They're not. So it's there for your use. I highly suggest you, you know, use it to your, the best of your benefit.
And just as the snowbird thing, if you're traveling and something happens, would you find the nearest VA and go there?
Yeah, find the nearest VA facility and, you know, just walk in and say, hey, I'm not a patient here,
right.
But here's my VA card. I belong to this hospital. I'm having this issue. Maybe you lost your prescription. You need a new one. They can give you an emergency refill, and then your actual doc can send it to you, or you can order it on My Healthy Vet, which is an online portal that you can use for looking at all your lab work and doctor's notes and all that kind of stuff. But it's one big network, you know. It's the VA, unfortunately, is divided in a lot of different ways, which is mind-numbing when you really look at it. But you essentially have a healthcare. You have the ability to utilize healthcare that has 1,700 locations around the globe. You belong to all 1,700 locations. You know, if you decide, hey, I want to move from this clinic to this clinic, go to the new clinic, sign a piece of paperwork that says you want your files transferred, which they're, the funny thing is they're not even transferring your files because they're all in the same damn system. But they just need you to sign that piece of paperwork. And so they'll be able to actually put notes into your file. But yeah, they'll just transfer it. I think it literally took me 1 hour to have my stuff transferred. And then when you go back to wherever it is that you came from, if it's from Florida, back up to New Hampshire, or back from Minnesota, visiting the grandkids, or whatever the case may be, just have your stuff transferred back and good to go. Yes?
Years ago, when I first became a member of the VA, they said keep this discharge paper in your car because there's no connection between one VA and the other. Have they got it together now, or is it this step?
Well, it doesn't automatically come up. So how do I? It's kind of like you go on Google. Just because you're on Google's page doesn't mean that it's just going to have the information you want. Like, you actually have to look for the location of the information, right? Well, same thing with VA's system. The fact that you were seen in Minneapolis is not going to pop up and let your doctor in Boston know about it. But if you tell your doctor in Boston, hey, I was seen over in Minneapolis, then they can just go ahead and go to Minneapolis and look at the notes from you being there. So it's all in the same system. They just need to know that the information is there. Now, all this, of course, is being improved. There's a lot of changes that are coming down the pipe.
Well, this was about 10 or 12 years ago.
Oh.
When Ed did this.
That's eons.
Yeah, I know.
When it comes to computers.
At the time, I was really surprised that he says, you need this paper with you because you walk into the VA in Florida and they're not going to know you because you don't bring this paper with you. You just can't say, well, I'm a veteran. So.
I want to say, so like at the Big E, we do flu shots every year for veterans that are already enrolled. And this past Friday, we gave out 200 flu shots at the Big E. 3 years ago, I think we only did 100. But we actually had to give each veteran a slip because the previous year it didn't show up in the system for everybody. So we gave them a slip so that they could bring it back with them. And now this past year, we didn't have any slips at all because the nurses were able to just go into everybody's records at their facility and put all the information in there, and it shows up that you had your flu shot.
Can you walk in any time and get that injection, or is it a certain period of time?
A flu shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just walk in there now?
Just walk in, go in there today. I want my flu shot.
Okay.
They don't give you orange juice or cookies, though. I tried that.
Don't eat it.
How does spouses work into this?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's a good question.
Spouses are it's difficult, especially if you're trying to get them health care through VA. Generally, the only time that you'll ever see a dependent receiving VA health care or covered through VA health care is when they're in CHAMP VA. CHAMP VA is a system for individuals that are like catastrophically 100% disabled, can't work, and all their sole income is essentially what they end up getting from VA and Social Security, and that's it. Then VA can cover the entire family or a spouse or what have you. But I don't run into too many people that occurs. Most of
this bulletin that you put out here, you know.
But I didn't put that out. That's not mine. I don't even know what that is.
Community based upon nursing homes. Coverage.
Yes.
I am a wife of a gentleman that died in the service.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm under CHAMP VA. And when I turned 65, I was told I can't use VA anymore. And now I have private care, but CHAMP VA takes care of it. But I had to leave the VA and my doctor, who I loved, because I was getting Medicare. Has that changed?
I've never heard of anybody being asked to leave.
Oh, I'm sure anyone in my position would tell you the same thing.
But I mean,
I can no longer use it.
Meet me after this, and I can get in touch with. I'll be going back to White River Junction and meeting with the head of the business office, who are the individuals that oversee all that kind of stuff. And I could find out today what's going on.
Well, I know that happened now about 10. Let's see, how the heck old am I? 12 years ago. So I go down to Dartmouth, and I didn't think I could do anything through the VA again because they told me that I couldn't. And I've never gone and fought, because I didn't feel there was any reason to. I'm still getting free care, but not through the VA. Not through the hospital, VA.
I can investigate that for you, if you would like.
Yeah, because I'm sure there are other women that would like to know if they've had the care there. I'm sure, has anyone else been told that after you get on Medicare, you can't use the VA?
Just that because you have Medicare, it's like if you're retiring or retired and you have Blue Cross and Medicare, once you turn 65, Medicare takes preeminence over the Blue Cross, so that in the order of payment, it goes from Medicare to whatever it is to the CHAMP.
Yeah, but...
Well, the VA is the last payer. Well, Medicaid is the last payer, but...
No, Medicare is first. And then CHAMP VA pays the rest, and they send you a statement, because that's what happens with me all the time. But I don't have the right anymore to go to the VA itself, to the hospital.
And I was also told that I could not use the services of the VA up the VA.
You're right.
I'll have to check into that. So, in this geographical area, three different types of facilities that you'll find are your VA medical centers, so White River Junction, community-based outpatient clinics, so you have one in Brattleboro, and one in Keene, and Tilton, and Burlington, and Bennington, and all the other places. Each one of them are very unique. Not all of them are the same. One of the CBOC that I currently use, all they have is primary care. That's all they do. The one that I was at before, they had primary care, mental health, radiology, audiology, optometry, physical therapy, and pharmacy, which was awesome. But now I'm at a little one in the middle of nowhere, and so they have limited stuff. But each one is very, very unique. And then, of course, you have vet centers. And vet centers were created actually pretty much by Vietnam veterans because they didn't feel like they really had a place to go when they came back home. And so vet centers work very independent. They're very unique. They work very independent from the VA system. You know, a doctor in the VA cannot look at your records at a vet center. It's impossible. Can't be done. There is no link between the two. So confidentiality is like the highest threshold at a vet center. But they're very good with like bereavement counseling and marriage counseling, counseling for PTSD, military sexual trauma, all that kind of stuff. The facilities that you have nearest to you, or in this area anyway, there you have them listed. You have Manchester, Conway, Keene, Littleton, Portsmouth. I love Portsmouth. Somersworth, Tilton, and then you have a vet center in Auburn. And then, of course, White River Junction, Bennington, Brattleboro, Burlington, Newport, Rutland, which is the hardest one to get to. And then you have vet centers in Burlington and White River Junction. And if you've never been to the vet center in White River Junction and you live close to White River, I would highly suggest go check it out. They got a really, really nice facility. They got a pool table in there. They do cooking classes. They do fly fishing classes. They do all sorts of cool stuff. And they do. They do a lot of stuff. And a lot of guys go there not because they need some type of therapeutic intervention, but because you want to meet up with other veterans and do things with other veterans. It's kind of like a VFW, except there's no bar.
No smoke.
And there's no differentiation. You could go to the, if you're closer to the New Hampshire, White River, closer to White River Junction physically, geographically, you don't have to be a Vermont. Live in Vermont. You can live in New Hampshire and still use the.
You can live anywhere you want.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, like, so I live in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But I'm never there. I spend a lot of my time just south of Boston, and so I set up my primary care in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Which is miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from my house. And they looked at me really weird when I told them what my home address was. They're like, well, we have a clinic that's closer to you. And I was like, I understand that, but I want to go to this one.
Okay.
And they're like, okay. So now I go there.
Okay.
So you can go to any facility you want.
Okay.
So Veterans Benefits Administration. I figured I would cover this because it's quite important. There's all sorts of stuff. So the VA's split up into three different parts. You have VHA, which is what I'm a part of, the healthcare part. You have VBA, which they handle all the benefits. And then you have NCA, which handles all the cemetery stuff. And so VBA, they're the ones that send you like the disability check or a pension check or handle home loans or vocational rehabilitation, GI Bill, all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to cover a few things that I thought would be relevant to the people in the room. Service-connected disability, if you've never applied for it, shame on you. Shame on you. You should definitely do it if you ever served in the military. A lot of people are like, well, either my record's burnt up at the National Public Records Center, or I don't even know how to find my records, or I was a secret scroll ninja in the military and all my stuff's blacked out. I've heard that a ton of times.
The dog ate my homework.
if you're still connected with people that you served with, they can write a testimony, or a letter of testimony, and submit that with your claim on your behalf. There's a lot of different things that you can do, but you should definitely apply for disability. Not because you get a tax-free check every single month, but it can open up more doors for you with your health care. Depending on how high your disability is, you may end up with benefits that get passed on to a loved one. You know, somebody that's at 100% disability, I haven't looked at the number in a while, and I'm actually going to cover it here in a few minutes, but it's possible that their spouse could, after they pass away, their spouse could get a check every month for $1,900, tax-free. That's big help, you know. So all these benefits exist, and no matter what, the money is there. So why not use the benefits to the best, to your benefit? And another question? No? All right. Pensions. There's several different pensions that VBA offers. All of them are income-based. They're designed to help offset the cost of health care. I can't tell you how many times I'm ended up running into somebody that they end up having to sell their home, or the family almost went bankrupt, or they had to deplete all their savings or something like that to pay for an uncle's or grandfather's or aunt's or whatever's health care, and they had served in the military. And they basically had no income. They would have qualified for aid in attendance or a housebound pension or something like that, which would have helped pay for everything, but they just didn't know about it. So these are all things that you always want to look into. I mean, even as young as I am, I'm 35, I already have a lot of this stuff, the applications for it already filled out. It's not signed, it's not dated, but I already have my basic information in it. That way, you know, my loved ones know, hey, something happens to Paul, go in this box and grab all the documents in it and start to talk to someone at the VA. You may not know what all the documents are, but VA will, and they can help sort you through it and move things along. But like it says there, all the pensions basically have to do with the amount of income that you have. So if you're fortunate enough to have a big bank account, then you might not qualify. But there are safety nets that are available. Dependents and survivors. So unfortunately, a spouse has passed away, and these are things that exist for the loved ones that are left behind. CHAMP VA, we've already discussed, which I need to find an answer to that one. You have education benefits, the survivor pension, which, again, that's income-based. And then the top one there, the dependency and indemnity compensation. So for an individual that passed away due to a service-connected disability, or somebody that had 100% service-connected disability for 10 years or more, there is DIC may be available to the spouse that they can utilize to offset costs for the future. And it's a benefit that lasts for the rest of their life. Memorial and burial benefits, VA will, at a federal cemetery, they'll pay for a veteran to be buried with full military honors. If you want to be buried at a private cemetery, they can help with the cost. They can get the family gravestones and markers and presidential certificates and all sorts of stuff at no cost. So I would always look into this. Now, I haven't run across too many individuals that run, excuse me, I'm starting to lose my voice. What is the word I'm looking for?
You haven't run into too many veterans who have heard that much?
No. I haven't run into too many businesses that, where you go, where they have the wake. What is it called?
The funeral.
Funeral home. Oh my gosh, isn't that horrible? I haven't run into too many funeral homes where the operator didn't already know about most, if not all, of this stuff. It's pretty simple. I would just make sure that somebody in your family or loved one, somebody, has access to the DD 214, which I had talked about earlier, because that proves that you did in fact serve and that you deserve military honors and all that kind of stuff. If you don't have any of your documentation whatsoever at all, or a loved one doesn't have any of their documentation, the fastest way to get it completely free is through your congressman or woman or senator. At the federal level, not at the state level, at the federal level. It's really simple. You can just go in there, tell them that you're going to do a claim with VA. Whether you're going to do it or not, it doesn't matter. Just lie to them. They lie to you anyway. So tell them that you're going to do a VA claim and that you want all of your records from the National Public Records Center, or NPRC for short. And NPRC essentially has like 10 to 14 business days to get all your stuff put together and sent back to that congressional member. It's absolutely the fastest way to do it. And it's completely free. It could be 1,000 pages worth of information. They will provide it for free. But if you do it yourself through the National Public Records Center's website, you end up having to pay after so many pages. So if you do it through your congressional member, it's completely free. And if it's a situation where it's urgent, like, God forbid, someone's involved in a car accident and, like, boom, you need the documentation right away, they can get it immediately if necessary. They have that ability. So I recommend always going through them because they can get it done very quick. And they'll provide it to you. They'll either print it out and give you a hard copy. They can give you digital, on disk, on whatever. Smoke signals, maybe. Maybe that's an option.
So you tell them you need your military records?
Yep. And they'll be able to get your training jacket, dental records, medical records, DD-214. If you ever did office hours, which means like you were a bad boy in the military and got in trouble.
Well, that would be good just to reminisce.
It's all there. It's amazing. I mean, and think of all the documentation that went into it. So, like, I pulled up my stuff, and I ended up seeing, like, my transcripts from high school and, you know, my high school diploma. And all. I was like, oh, man, I don't even have this stuff anymore. It was just kind of neat, you know?
That's good.
It's like, yeah, I got an A in chemistry. Woo-hoo! So, but they have all that stuff available. If you're tech savvy, you can pull up a lot of that stuff yourself on eBenefits. It's basically VBA's portal, kind of like My Healthy Vet is with VHA. So you can sign up with eBenefits and get access to a lot of that stuff already if it's been digitized. But not everybody's stuff has been digitized, so you might end up having to go through the National Public Records Center. Again, I know that you're not going to sit here and write all this down. I can provide this to the facility here, and then they can, I guess, give it to you guys. They know who you are. But these are some of the basic URLs and phone numbers that people often need. As far as healthcare goes in New England, you can reach any facility at any time through 844-VA-CARES. That one number will cover you no matter where you are in New England. So you can be down in Connecticut and not know where a facility is, just call that number and then select Connecticut and they'll get you to the nearest facility. If you're in the top of, if you're up by Bangor, Maine, and you don't know what the address is to the facility up there, then you can call 844-VA-CARES, select Maine, and then it'll eventually get you to Bangor and you can get the information that you need. Again, anybody that's tech savvy, we created this really nifty app that has like 1,500 pages of information of whatever you could possibly want to know about VA healthcare, Veterans Benefits Administration, National Cemetery Administration, different state benefits. It's got GPS technology. We're constantly updating it with news stories about things that we're doing in New England, and the list goes on. You can also actually list. You can keep track of all your VA contacts in it, different prescriptions that you're taking, lots of stuff. Does lots of things. Yes?
One of your slides mentioned VA and Medicare, Medicaid. Can you talk about that just a little bit? People who use VA healthcare also have Medicare, is that true? And they can use that?
It's up to you. So, I know that with Part A, Part B, let's see here. Depending on, I want to be careful, because I don't want to sway you one way or the other way, really. But depending on what type of, what priority group you fall in, so that 1 through 8 thing that I had talked about earlier, depending on what priority group you fall in, you might already get everything completely free, regardless. And not have to, you have no co-payments, no nothing. You could, your arm could fall off and they'll give you a new arm. Well, kind of. But basically you're covered for everything, right? I know veterans that have opted just to not use Medicare.
But you can if you want.
You can use both. It's not a problem. I mean, Medicare is going to cover you outside of a VA facility. VA is going to cover you inside of a VA facility. The two can't pay one another. It's impossible. They can't do that. That only happens with tribal health, like American Indians and stuff like that. Those two systems can pay each other, but that's it. Some veterans will end up having Part A, Part B, whichever, both, and not D. And maybe they'll just use VA for prescriptions. It just depends on what you qualify for. I myself, personally, I don't plan on using Medicare. Who knows? It might not even exist anymore by the time I need it. So,
there's a circumstance where it's kind of a long distance to a VA facility,
mm-hmm.
and the person doesn't have easy transportation. They could use Medicare close to home.
Where does the person live?
This is a hypothetical.
Oh, all right. Because there's also other options like the CHOICE program, which this is a whole new bag of worms. So the CHOICE program, which most of the veterans that live in the state of New Hampshire qualify for, if you're outside of like 40 miles of White River Junction, because there is no tier 1 or 2 facility in New Hampshire that can handle a lot of different health care needs of veterans, they automatically qualify to be able to use a system that's basically like TRICARE. if you're familiar with that at all. But basically, you can use healthcare outside of the VA. You would end up calling HealthNet, which is the exact same company that handles TRICARE, and you can schedule appointments with them. And you could potentially see somebody that lives right there in your town. Not everybody qualifies for that. If you want to see if you qualify for it, you can call, about to give you a number, 866-606-8198. And you'll chat with them. That's the call center for choice. And they can tell you whether or not you qualify. And if you do, they can actually go ahead and start setting up stuff for you. I know one young lady, she has four kids, and they all have an optometrist. And she happens to really like that optometrist. And because she qualifies for the choice program, she coordinated with her optometrist to join into the choice program, and now she gets to go to the same optometrist her kids do outside of the VA. Now, is that going to happen for everybody? No, it's not going to happen for everybody. But it is an option, and a very good option, especially for individuals who live in the state of New Hampshire.
But I might point out that some of this information is on this little...
Oh yeah, I forgot that I handed those out. So I handed out a pamphlet on the caregiver support program. Not everything in the caregiver support program applies to everybody. It depends on when you serve. The guides that I handed out say New England on the front of it. The first half of it is about all the different facilities that we have throughout New England. And then in the back of it, if you go through that, it gives you pretty good basic information about VA healthcare across the board. So if you read all this and retain 50% of it, you'll probably know more than most people that even work at VA about VA healthcare. But because they all have their own different little silos, you know, that they pay attention to. But it's a good little resource. And that pretty much ends it for me. I don't know if anybody has any questions. Yes.
What is the current waiting time at the VA and what you're... That's a
good question. Depends on what service you're using.
Well, there are broadcasts often about waiting times. It's become a political issue. How long does it take you to get services from the VA?
I usually wait longer at Dartmouth than I do at the VA.
Yes, I mean, for me, now I'm not talking about White River Junction, but for me, I just gone to the doctor.
Thank you.
Yep, have a good one. I just went to the doctor a week ago, and I'm waiting less than a week for my MRI. I'm waiting less than 2 weeks for optometry. I'm waiting 10 days, I think, to see neurology. And this is just random.
So it varies from area to area.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're going to have more specialists and, or more demand in certain areas. You know, there'll probably be a higher demand for seeing that almost half of the veterans in New England are over the age of 65. I'm sure audiology is used a lot, and optometry is used a lot. Right. Dermatology is probably used a lot. But transitional care may not be used as much because it's geared more towards veterans like myself. So it just depends on what specialty you're using. But any specialty, anything that you need or want that it would take in excess of 30 days for you to go, you have the ability, VA has the ability to send you to someone out in the public sector. But I often see, I mean, right now I think the waiting time to see a dermatologist in Boston is 72 days. In the private sector, you probably won't wait more than 8 days in the VA. So.
I'd be buried, being buried in a national cemetery, you know, you say it's free. But to put the coffin in the ground, they wanted it entombed in a concrete wall, and you pay for that.
You want it to be entombed in a concrete?
No, no, I mean, that's the rule down there.
Where's the cemetery?
Virginia.
That's the same even in a public cemetery.
Is that a state cemetery or a VA cemetery?
It's a VA, or National Cemetery. It's down here in Boswell.
Boswell.
Because I went down there.
I don't know if that's owned and operated by VA. I'd have to check into that.
I figured it's a government, I don't know.
Well, I know that the state itself has its own veteran cemeteries. I'd actually spoken with the state secretary about it not too long ago, that they're greatly expanding the size of the cemetery. But that's completely different. Now, like me, if I want to be buried in Arlington, that's not going to cost me a dime, you know?
No, this is not Arlington, this is Boswell. But it's a VA, I mean, it's a military cemetery.
It's probably state-run, though.
I don't know.
So it's, if it was a federal cemetery, it'd be completely different, it would be free. But because it's state, that's different. And so, I mean, they would probably pay for up to $2,000 worth of the cost of the burial, the VA would. But they're not going to pay for the whole thing.
Well, it's an environmental thing if they want the coffins encased in concrete, in a vault.
No, I understand that.
Huh?
I understand that, but I don't think it's a VA cemetery.
I'll check on that.
And that involves cremation too, like the burial stuff?
Mm-hmm. I don't know all the ins and outs of burial.
Yeah.
It's not really something I like reading about, to be honest with you.
No, right.
But there's lots of different options.
Okay.
You can
available.
Get buried at sea.
Help with, yeah.
It's free, you can get buried at sea.
I wanted them to shoot me into the sun. We'll see if it works.
I want to go to space.
Would you be willing to provide your whole...